McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Early in the second quarter, the Saints had just gotten their second touchdown, Rashid Shaheed, for 76 yards on the punt return for a touchdown, and they added on another field goal after that, and you're thinking, oh, this is an easy day. Easy day, no problem. Unfortunately, the Packers got a field goal, 17-3, no problem. And then the Packers got a touchdown, 17-11, as they put in the extra two-point conversion. And you're thinking, still no problem. I hope it's no problem. Under 3 minutes to go in the game, and the Packers driving down the field.
Third down to the end zone. What a catch. Touchdown. Love to Dobbs.
18-17 Packers at the time. Under 3 minutes to go in the game. But no worries. That's enough time to make something happen if you're, you know, a professional quarterback in the NFL and you got a good team around you. And so the, you know, Saints kind of move and move and move. And they kind of get stymied. They get down to the point where they're going to have to go for a field goal. But no big deal. 46 yards for an NFL kicker is not that big of a deal. So you're down by one. There's a minute to go in the game. It's fourth down and...
Groupie. From the left hash, as we welcome a new audience, Saints looking to regain the lead. From 46 yards out, Groupie's kick is no good. Wide to the right.
Crap. Oh, Saints. See, this was a game, I watched this game in about 10 minutes this morning. I watched the first, you know, couple of drives on fast forward as I do, you know, stopping for the plays and going forward. And like, oh, the Packers are going to, the Saints are going to run away with this one. This is not even a game worth watching. But I always know, you know, you got to check. So I've got to 17-0 and I'm like, fast forward, fast forward, fast forward. Okay, three, no big deal. 11 is more interesting. Oh, no. Sorry, Saints fans. Yeah. Great weekend for football, though. I mean,
go,
really.
Pack, go.
Oh, my God. Oh, whoa. What did you say out loud?
I was doing the Wedge of Allegiance in my heart.
Oh,
you
know,
I'm a Packer
wow.
fan.
I know you are. Yeah. So, congratulations.
But I like the Saints. The Saints are my team.
Did you actually watch this game?
No, my husband hates football.
Oh,
so, but I did watch the highlights.
You missed a comeback for your team?
I know. I miss a lot.
I see. Okay, fair enough. You know, no big deal.
I know. Gotta get it out of here.
Meanwhile, the college games are great. It's funny because what I typically do is I set my DVR to record whatever games look interesting, you know. And by interesting, I mean games that are going to be good because they're, you know, seeded teams, ranked teams playing each other on Saturday, or, you know, teams where if it's an upset, it's a big upset, you know, or, you know, teams I care about watching. So there was a lot of football to record. And it's kind of funny. We were watching something on TV, and my wife's like, because I think I had like 8 or 9 games recorded, and she's like, oh, too bad you didn't record any football. You know, I'm like, well, I watch them fast, baby, you know, because they're not all worth watching. But FSU, Clemson, okay, second quarter, FSU has been shut out so far. Okay, shutouts. Or sorry, they had gotten a touchdown so far. So it was 17-7 at this point. They're down.
Good pocket.
At Clemson.
And now on the run. It's caught by Keon Coleman. And still going down the sideline. That's what Travis can do.
38 yards to Keon Coleman. That was followed up by a touchdown. So you had it was 17-14 at the half. They're trailing by three. Remember, you know, Clemson's not ranked this year, but FSU has not beaten them in a long time. I think 2007, if I'm not remembering. No, that's not quite right. That's not right. 2014, last time they beat them. Okay, so they're down by three at the half. They get into the second half, and FSU blitzes on second and 10 at the FSU 29.
Here's a blitz, and Klubnik didn't see it coming. He got blasted by Kalen DeLoach, who has the ball and is heading toward the end zone. Touchdown, Florida State.
Not too shabby for the scoop and the score. So FSU ties it up at 24-24 at that moment. But Clemson's got the ball, and there's, you know, a full quarter to go. So they finally go back and forth a little bit. Nothing much happens, but you get down to within 2 minutes, about 150 or so on the clock. Clemson with a 29-yard field goal chip shot to take the lead late in the game.
And he made a 30-yard field goal to start the scoring today. He's made three extra points. Dabble Swinney said it's either going to be great or terrible. This would be the ultimate greatness.
It's the kid who had never kicked a field goal in college ever. And their kicking was so bad that he actually called him like back, I don't even know, back to school or at least back to the team from break or something. And he kicked a field goal early. He had 3-point afters. And so he was doing great. So here he is with the chip shot to go ahead to probably win the game late.
Middle of the field from the 20-yard line. A 30-yard kick. And it is no good.
No good. Oh, my goodness. And just, you know, you can see that this is the Clemson fan meme. If you haven't seen it over the weekend, this is the Clemson fans like, girl. So she's not happy. Well, so they go into overtime tied. And mean right away, FSU.
Second and nine. Jordan Travis throwing in a single cover.
Again, Keon Coleman.
And Florida State leads for the first time today.
They came all the way back to lead 31-24 in overtime, okay? And so Clemson is trying. They're trying. They go to second. They go to third. They go to fourth and two.
About a yard and a half that they have to have or it's ball game over.
Got to get the first down. Got to get a touchdown.
The return to prominence continues in a big way for Mike Norvell and Florida State.
Yeah, big day for FSU, the comeback. Because you're starting, you know, if you're a Florida State fan, you're like, not again. Not again. No, no. Yes, yes. So pretty exciting. Meanwhile, Maryland is for real with Talia Tagovailoa. They won at least, I think it was 31-9 in the end. Dominating performance by the younger Tagovailoa. Alabama had a scare, looked pretty awful in a couple of sequences, but they managed to come back and win against Ole Miss. Oregon just destroyed Colorado. You know, this is the Deion Sanders coaching his kid as the quarterback, kind of Cinderella story. They're ranked number 19. Oregon's ranked number 10. Demolished him, absolutely destroyed him. I know it was 35-0 at one point. I don't remember what the final score was, but it was not close. And then the game of the weekend really was the Notre Dame Ohio State game that was just not a fun game to watch because it's all a defensive game, but in the end, Ohio State comes all the way back and manages to win that game, and I know Notre Dame fans were frustrated. Very, 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 very frustrated. Another kind of game for folks. Oh, and the Argos won. The Argos won. Big, dominating performance over West Georgia, who's leaving D2 to go to D1. So there you go. That's your very, very, very quick sports roundup from the weekend. Oh, and there is one other note. Kind of an unusual one. Just, this is not a game you probably watched.
Exclusively in the gun.
Sherman with trips left, throws under duress. Incomplete.
I think Quentin Stephens heard a lot of footsteps and came up empty at the 25-yard line.
Yeah, Quentin Stephens has made some nice plays early on.
That's Shenandoah University at one or Uniata. Okay, that's a Division III game. What the commentators there did not mention is that the person who heard the quarterback was Haley Van Voorhees, the first ever female non-kicker to play in NCAA football history. In a Division III game, she came in as safety. She heard the quarterback. They didn't even block her. It was the weirdest thing. You know, she's running up the quarterback, and she gets to him and kind of like throws all of her weight against him and kind of makes him lean over and fall down. You know, like, she's small, okay, compared to the guy. But she got in there. She made made him hurry, made him miss the pass. And it's the first time ever that a woman has played in a NCAA game as a non-kicking position. And she got a hurry up. She didn't get a sack, but she did get a hurry up. So there you go. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Rizza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. Nothing is everything. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night starting at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite band. This week, it's Vinyl Revival, a 6-piece band covering hits from the 70s through the 90s. From Pat Benatar and Blondie, to The Cars, to Journey, AC/DC, and the Doobie Brothers. It's Bands on the Beach with Vinyl Revival, this Tuesday night at 7.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10:30 when Dr. Ed Meadows, the president of Pensacola State College, will be on the show, talking about the college celebrating its 75th anniversary and some of the key moments in Pensacola State College's history, successes, and future endeavors. It's a show you won't want to miss. Tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I will see you there, all right?
Bye.
I love those redheads, man.
I know you.
Such a great song. Love that song so much. 523, and I do love those redheads. 523 on News Radio 92.3. All right. 523 on News Radio.
I love your whole family.
Yeah, that's right. Look at all those redheads. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Baptist, you know, they're making the big move from the Legacy Hospital at East Street over to the new hospital on Brent Lane, and They changed emergency rooms at 3 a.m. and 1 second is what they said, because you can't have two open at the same time, apparently, by state law or something. So then at 5 o'clock, they started moving patients, and, you know, supposed to take 12 hours. Caravans of ambulances going. Now, Eric Gilmore had said three at a time, but I saw some pictures that the, who was it, PNJ, Channel 3? I think it was PNJ, had where they were, you know, maybe four or five in a caravan at a time. And I texted Eric around noon and, you know, 11:30, something like that. I'm like, hey, how's the move going so far? I'm not paying attention to anything. I'm just at home doing my Saturday stuff, but it occurred to me I'd ask. He's like, almost done. I'm like, the what now? Almost done. At 11:30. Yeah, and I was like, well, how many? He's like, six left. I'm like, really? And then I'm writing a thing for the Facebook page, and he texts me again. He says, all done. I'm like, the what now? And I'm like, you're done? I can report that? And he says, let me check real quick just to be sure. Yeah, sure enough. So they finished in 7 hours, what they thought was going to be 12 hours. Wow. They had cut their census down to, now, I saw different numbers, okay? One report I saw had a little over 100. Eric had said it was 92. But in any case, they had, you know, gotten their number of people who really needed transportation down significantly. But yeah, they were done. No problems. Easy day. Didn't need, you know, backup tires or mechanics or, you know, the stuff they were prepared for. And rightly so, they didn't need it. So the new hospital is open and functional. It looks great. And the one bit of reminder for you is if you have a chance to go to Baptist or need to, and, you know, I hope none of you ever have to go to any hospital ever. But if you do go and you go to Baptist, ask for a north-facing room. The view is fantastic. It really is fantastic. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Texas officials have announced a new shelter to house migrants. This is after that big surge we were talking about last week during a weekend news conference. El Paso Mayor Oscar Leeser said that their city's opening an additional shelter at the border that should be able to house about 400 people. There's a tentative agreement now between the Writers Guild of America and Hollywood's top studios in an effort to resolve that writers' strike. Picketing was suspended as of Sunday night, so maybe they'll finally get something going here.
Now, the SAG-AFTRA is still on strike, so they don't have... Right, but okay, so my question is this. I mean, President Biden was going to go picket with them tomorrow. So is he still?
Well, he's going to the UAW.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I just can't keep track of all these great strikes going
on.
So
actually,
I thought that
was
all the same thing.
Actually, no. That's my third story. Oh, President Biden is heading to Michigan tomorrow. He'll be picketing with the UAW workers who are still on strike, and there apparently is no contract in sight for them. They apparently have attempted negotiating with the Big Three, and they say there's been just about no progress made in that regard.
So the White House promises that he's going to go walk the picket line with the UAW tomorrow, right?
Right.
Has the White House firmly promised that President Biden will do no work tomorrow? Because that's the guarantee I'm looking for. I'm looking for the guarantee that he promises to do nothing tomorrow, because that is my favorite day of his presidency so far. He's going to do nothing tomorrow?
That would be the most effective, probably. Yeah, I would have to say.
Keep the strike on. Let the president stay there as long as he likes. No problem. Just keep doing what you're doing, man. It'll be good.
Now, I wonder how the workers are going to feel about President Biden joining them on the picket lines. That's just kind of, most of the UAW people I know. aren't really, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are.
They're a little more Trump than Biden.
A little bit, yeah. So
are they going to pre-vet the people that they have working on that line, you know, to make sure that they're actually Biden fans?
I would imagine so, yeah.
It's kind of hard to imagine. I'm with you. That's a dubious distinction. The president's coming. Which one? David, thanks so much for the update. 527 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, I got a text in here. Somebody says, on the move... it was a couple of convoys, one of eight and one of seven ambulances. Okay, so that was it. But there was a lot of changes last minute. Even the route, you know, like Eric Gilmore told the county commission on Thursday what the route was going to be. And we were reporting it on Friday. And then I got a call from PPD. I'm like, that route's not right. And I'm like, okay, well, let's report the new one, you know. And then, you know, Eric had said they were going to go in groups of three. And this person says it was a convoy of basically it was one of eight, one of seven. And that there were 87 for the hospital and about 20 behavioral, and so about 107 altogether. So, great. That's fantastic. 437-1620, 437-1620. What else do we have going on? No, I'm just not getting into that right now. I sometimes look at my sheet and I think, oh, that's a great time, but I'm not. Oh, well, fine. Fine. I'll mention it. The NFL has accomplished something else. I didn't watch this game, so I can't say from, like, you know, personal eyes on experience. But apparently they've broken a new barrier in the NFL. We have the first transgender NFL cheerleader. Speaking on behalf of men everywhere, there's nothing we want more than to watch a...
I bet some do, though.
...person assigned male at birth.
Can you tell?
Yeah, here.
I'm not saying that rude to people that are...
Let me show you. What? There you go.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep, you can... Yes.
Yep, that's a dude in a bikini top with long eyelashes and no hair.
Hey, rock on. I dig it.
So, let me say this. I think that the...
I bet some people are, you know...
The headline here that some people are saying is that the first transgender NFL cheerleader is comparing what this person has done to being a doctor or a nurse. I don't think so.
Because they broke a barrier?
Well, not what they said. Here's the quote. I want to change the narrative for my trans sisters and brothers just to let them... What about the others? Just to let them know that if you have a goal, go for it. Turn that dream into reality. Be an NFL cheerleader or a doctor or a nurse or whatever you set your mind to. That's not comparing the one to the other. They're just listing a bunch of things altogether. So, you know, I'm well willing to give criticism where criticism is due. I think that criticism is misguided. So, you know, pick your targets appropriately and, make your aim good. And if you're going to make criticism, make them be fair criticism. 5:30, David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
Escambia County deputies looking for a shooting suspect. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. It looks like a nearly five-month TV and movie writer strike is just about over. Fox's Brian Hulgren.
The WGA announcing the tentative three-year deal to its members Sunday night, calling it an agreement in principle on all deal points that offers meaningful gains and protections for writers in every sector of membership. None of the terms have been announced yet.
TV and movie actors have been on strike since July. The only survivor of seven people in an SUV hit by a train in Plant City, Florida, is in critical condition still. A man on his way to a birthday party with three other adults and three children.
The SUV, we can see from the video, begins to catapult and flip violently several times before it's landed a distance from this crossing.
Hillsborough County Sheriff Chad Cronister says the train conductor used flashing lights and horns and did everything possible to stop Saturday night. It's unclear why the SUV driver didn't stop. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3 71 right now. Partly cloudy in Pensacola. Escambia County deputies looking for a suspect after a shooting at a home on Winton Avenue on Sunday. The sheriff's office says the suspect went to that home where he got into an argument with the couple that lived there, then allegedly shot the male victim. That victim was found at a local hospital, appears to have non-life-threatening injuries, and deputies say they've identified but have not located that suspect as of yet. The suspect's identity has not been released to the public. Well, Baptist Hospital's big move from their legacy campus on East Street to the new facility on Brent Lane was wrapped up over the weekend, several hours ahead of schedule. After more than a year of planning, the ambulance convoys that were transporting patients to the new campus was completed in just over 6 hours Saturday. Escambia County Public Safety Director Eric Gilmore confirmed to News Radio that day that 92 patients were successfully transported to the new hospital. And, you know, with that big move over the weekend, ECAT making a change to accommodate folks that are looking to get to the new hospital campus on Brent Lane. ECAT says it's changing one of its routes to get people there starting today. For route information, check ECAT's website at goecat.com. Two kids and an adult are recovering after a fire in their hotel room over the weekend. That happened at the Quality Inn on Pensacola Boulevard. Escambia County Fire Rescue says the fire started in the room's microwave. EMS transported the three patients to the hospital. There's no word on how serious their injuries are. A teenager was shot outside of DeLuna Lane's bowling alley over the weekend. That happened in the early morning hours on Saturday. The teen was reportedly shot in the arm and the stomach and was taken to the hospital in unknown condition. Escambia County deputies say the teen appeared to have been shot inside of a vehicle that was parked in the lot after getting into an argument with a group of people. Investigators are still working to identify a suspect in that case. The chair of the Republican National Committee is hoping former President Donald Trump will take part in at least one of their 2024 presidential debates.
Oh, I want him to attend a debate, and he knows that. Everybody knows. I think the other candidates also want him to attend a debate.
Speaking on Fox News, Ronna McDaniel urged the former president to appear at a debate before primary voting begins in January. Trump skipped the first Republican debate in August and says he'll be in Detroit this week instead of at the debate. Well, today is the day you can order more free COVID-19 tests online if you'd like them. Infectious disease specialist Dr. Mary Jo Trepka says the federal government has relaunched its program because most insurance companies now are not covering the cost since the pandemic is officially over.
Because they are expensive and people should take advantage of them.
She says it'll cost you at least $10 out of pocket to go to the store and purchase those tests. Each household can order up to four of them online. Again, that starts today. 534 at News Radio 92.3. Looking like it's going to be another nice morning here. We've got 71 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 66 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend. While others ride with their growing families. But no matter how many passengers you have, there's a Volkswagen that fits your needs at Feedmore Imports. The 2023 Jetta Sport. The sleek, compact sedan now from $24,361. The Taos S, a sporty crossover with a competitive price of $25,681. The Tiguan S, with the third row, is larger and it's now $28,251. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven passengers and has style and comfort for everyone to enjoy. The 2024 Atlas SE is now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421. And the VW ID4 EV, the all-electric SUV with plenty of space and an abundance of tech features, is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale price before tag, tax, title, and associated dealer fees. Discount on the ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We'll be right back.
938, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Interesting, just sort of a piece of a longer saga that we have been covering quite a bit on this show is the District 1 medical examiner saga, right? Which is, you know, the question of where to build the facility, whether to have multiple facilities. Escambia County has really been opposed to the one facility in Santa Rosa County option. You know, and you know all the issue about the allegations that were started at the, you know, the restaurant with the funeral directors, who at least one of which is now recanted. And Deanna Oleski, the medical director, is suing, okay, the two remaining for defamation because of all the money that she has lost as a result of their claims that she says are false, that Dan Schebler, you know, says, or he's the operations manager for Domes. And then, you know, the other side of the equation is just the operations, like just the day-to-day doing stuff. So you have the capital question, okay, on the one hand, of building the new facility, and then you have the operations side. Well, at the most recent Domes meeting, that's where you have representatives from all four counties, Walton, Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, and Escambia, get together, and they oversee the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. And Brad Baker, who is the Assistant County Administrator for Santa Rosa County, was basically saying they were going to make a couple of changes to how the memorandum of understanding, the interlocal agreement, works with Domes. The details of the changes don't matter anything to you. It has to do with money that can be carried over and, you know, having the ability to authorize things without having to come back for the board at a certain time. The details really don't matter, okay? But they were having a conversation about the details of this legal agreement between the four counties, and Brad Baker says,
very interesting topic, you know, what's going on.
What he says is, it's a very interesting time, what's going on between Escambia County, Dan Oleski.
One thing that we haven't had an issue is the operating side.
We haven't had an issue with the operations.
So you start doing a bunch of changes, it's going to go back to the county. It just heightens the interest.
If you do a bunch of changes to the agreement, it's going to go back to the county and it heightens interest. And there's already this strained relationship, right? Particularly with Stephen Barry, because he was the one who, you know, got the group of funeral directors together to raise the challenges against Deanna Oleski. You know, he hasn't been named in a lawsuit yet. I don't know whether he will. I wouldn't be surprised if he winds up getting that way. Remember, Jeff Bergage published it on his blog and all of the, just backdrop in case you're not familiar. And so they don't go to these meetings, right? They send Robert Bender instead because he hasn't been an issue for Deanna Oleski, right?
That's the scrutiny where the operating side is functioning. We've still got to work out the capital building side, which is going to take some time. But when you have some contention, then you're trying to add in that the...
So he says when there's contention, you're raising scrutiny, you're raising interest in something else that's really not that controversial. Maybe don't make any changes at all, which is strategically, he's right. Like, you know, don't... You know, if you're in a fight with your spouse, that's not the time you go ask for something else. Right. You know, let's pick your moments. Right. And, you know, without getting into the who's right and who's wrong in the situation, the point is, why tinker with something if it seems to be working OK? You know, don't allow that heightened scrutiny to come. And by the way, if there are any funding problems, like one of the things they're dealing with is, what if we suddenly have, you know, a funding shortfall for whatever reason and we need to spend some money? We don't want to have to come back to the board to make a big decision. And, you know, basically he's like, you know, we can always have an emergency meeting if we need to. So what was fascinating to me is that conversation, this is about 3 weeks ago, they had this meeting. And, I know the audio is not great, but it's, you know, it's a public meeting, it's a recorded meeting. And so I was curious to see if there would be any controversy over the follow-up to that at the Escambia County Commission meeting where they were going to actually agree to this deal. And so you had Allison Rogers opens up and she was also involved in this, and she had objected to a couple of the terms, and, you know, she's the attorney for Escambia County.
The first item is a request to put into place a restated interlocal agreement relative to the operations only of the medical examiner's services via Domes. This is each of the four counties in the district being asked to put into place a new interlocal agreement. The Okaloosa County Board of County Commissioners unanimously approved the interlocal on Tuesday. The Santa Rosa County Commission will be taking this issue up next week. I have not confirmed the date of the Walton County vote, but the Domes Board did already look and vote 3-1 in favor of the interlocal. I do know that Mr. Schiebler has had conversations with your budget director, with me, and maybe with some of you all. I think the interlocal is ready to go forward. If you have any questions, I can try to answer them.
Okay, so she's just saying, look, we're four counties, and we've been the sticking point, so other counties are kind of, you know, one has acted, two are waiting to act this week probably, and we'll see about the rest. Robert Bender, the kind of the delegate from Escambia County as a commissioner who was there in the meeting.
The one vote on that board was us, and I would say that it's because typically we do not do rollovers.
Yeah, the 3-1, he was the one, okay? But he says, look, we don't normally do rollovers, and yes, the other counties are kind of watching us because we're like, what, 45% of the deaths, if I remember correctly, the lion's share of the cost and therefore the funding.
And Okaloosa's taking it up. Santa Rosa and Walton are seeing what we're going
to
do.
They're watching us to see.
Commissioner, what would you like to do?
That's Stephen Berry asking, what's your guidance? You've been to the meetings?
Yeah, whatever you want to do, Rob. Let's
Commissioner Berry, I think in the grand scheme of things, to get this across the finish line, I don't think it's that big of a deal. You know, again, it's I would just ask that the DUNS board make sure that they have oversight over it.
So to move to prop it?
I moved to adopt it.
Yeah, so they passed it. No big deal. 5-0. No worries. Fine. So a rare moment of non-controversy over something that you kind of worried might be controversial because of all of the hoopla surrounding it in other issues. Now, here's something else that was kind of interesting that came out of that DOMES meeting. Do you remember? Okay, so there were three funeral directors at first who made the allegations. One came on this show with Deanna Oleski and recanted and said that the way it had been presented to him was not the way he intended it, and he got caught up in all this drama quite against his will. The other two did not, or at least not to us. And then, you know, they'd sort of walked it back. I think one to the PNJ, and I forget if the other one had walked it back at all. But then, you know, she's suing them for defamation. And there was apparently a fourth one involved. Well, there had been another story came out maybe 2 months ago, something like that, where there was a fourth complaint, you know, some pretty awful stuff that was being alleged against Deanna Oleski, and the PNJ had a story about it. So Dan Schebler, who's, again, former county administrator in Santa Rosa County, now the operations director for the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, he says,
I think I sent you all the email that I received from Escambia County via public records request. I sent that to you, the email of the fourth complaint that had existed.
The fourth complaint that had come out. He had to request it.
Sure.
A public records request.
I've seen it.
You all may have seen it around, and it was referenced in a newspaper article.
That's right. It was referenced in a newspaper article. But again, it wasn't sent to the medical examiner's office. It wasn't sent to their oversight board. It was not sent to any. It was it got sent to Escambia County, like, which is always weird. Why did it get sent there instead of the appropriate channel? So he had to actually ask for it. Like, he had to send a public information request to Escambia County. Hey, there's a newspaper article about a complaint against us. Would you mind sending us the complaint? Oh, okay, sure.
We received that August 18th. Reviewed our quality assurance protocols. If I haven't sent it to you, I will. Email, after we reviewed it and reviewed our information, there's potential criminal violations.
Whoa. So that complaint against them would involve criminal allegations, which, again, if Escambia had, why didn't they pass on to anybody, you know, right? And why, what was their goal with this, to hang on to this too?
Alleged in that email. So I sent it to the state attorney's office.
Rightly so.
Who forwarded it, and FDLE now has an open investigation based on the allegations that are made in that email that was sent to Escambia County back in May. As soon as we received it, we reviewed the information and then forwarded it to the appropriate authorities. So
his first response is, hey, there are criminal allegations in here. Let's open an investigation, have the state attorney look into this. They sent it to FDLE, so there you go, which is the right answer, which is not what Escambia County did with it at all. Escambia County had it since May and didn't do anything except somehow it got into the PNJ's hands, right?
Just wanted you all to know what had transpired with that. If you have any specific questions about it, I'm happy to answer those offline. But that was very concerning allegations in there, but we know that the decedent did not leave our care in the condition that's described.
So he's denying the allegations. The body did not leave our care in the conditions described. The allegation is false, but it's an FDLE investigation, so he's probably not going to talk much about it or any more about it. So just, you know, be aware that there is still some issues out there, and I think questions for Escambia County as to why that wasn't forwarded to anybody, you know, except somehow, again, you know, the PNJ has an article about it, but it wasn't sent to Domes, wasn't sent to FDLE, the state attorney's office, it wasn't forwarded to the proper channels. And why, again, why was this written to Escambia County in the first place, a very odd destination for complaints about the medical examiner's office? 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy cars that are almost new, you know, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition. And one of the things that Frontier does is they do Carfax for you. Like when you go and sit down and actually are at the looking at a price point, you know, when you're talking about a car, you get this sheet of paper that has everything on it, you know, all of the prices, the tax, the title, the any tags, if that's really, you know, anything related to the car. And then at the bottom, there's a, you know, dot, 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 dot line. And the line number below that is the number. That's the only thing you ever talk about. Okay. There's no then later on changes. That's the number out the door price. Attached to that, stapled to it basically, is a Carfax report, which is going to give you the vehicle maintenance and repair history for that car to the degree that shops who worked on it reported it. Okay, Carfax is not the end-all be-all of car conditions, but it's a really good starting point. And you might learn things from a Carfax you didn't know. If you go to some other place, like, you know, maybe somebody on Facebook Marketplace or some corner pop-up tent, whatever, they may or may not have a Carfax for you. And if they don't, no big deal. I mean, you kind of wonder why, but okay, no big deal. Just take the VIN to Frontier and they'll run you a Carfax for free. Not because I said so, because that's part of their practice. Say, why would they help you buy a car from somebody else? Because they can. I mean, just because they can, and that'll help you make a good informed decision. And, you know, maybe that winds up, you become a customer there's long term. Maybe it doesn't. It doesn't matter. The point is that they're serving the community in a way that's very easy for them to help you make, you know, a little bit more informed decision about a used car, even if it's not being bought from them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Join Sonia with Chill Out Cryo Spa Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Sonia will be taking your calls and discussing how you can achieve your body goals with body sculpting or pain reduction sessions at Chill Out Cryo Spa. You want to look and feel your best. Find out how Thursday at 10:30 with Chill Out Cryo Spa and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola, right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And we'll get our first glimpse of the average Joe squad sporting some unwieldy uniforms.
I feel like I'm watching a Cher video, Cotton.
Quick, how many rock bands using a flute can you name?
Just the one.
Just the one.
That's right.
And they don't even have cowbell. 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, reports indicate that tentative deal between the Writers Guild of America and Hollywood Studios could end the writer's strike. But Dominic Patton from Deadline says we shouldn't get too excited about seeing our favorite shows back just
even
yet.
Even if the writers do make a deal, even if that deal gets ratified by their membership, will they or will not, they pick up their pens and keyboards likely. But you're not going to see anyone in front of a camera until the Actors Union make their deal.
And WGA members still have to formally vote to end their walkout. That's been 140 days plus now.
Have you noticed all of the reality shows on your 7 to 10 schedule right now?
So many.
Oh, it's all
so
reality shows.
So many reality
shows. Yeah, because they're like a separate contract or something, so they're not affected by this.
Thank God for Big Brother. You can watch all four cameras and see what they're up to in between.
And
you have that, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
It's really good. You don't think you would be, but
we watched Big Brother like the first couple seasons, I think, we
right,
watched
the beginning.
Right,
but it's even better. Are you hearing me? You can watch what they do when the show's not on before they edit it out. They cuss and they fight.
I'm
going to
spend
awesome.
My life watching in real time somebody else living an artificial life in a house?
Yes.
No.
Isn't it a great world?
No.
I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Big Brother.
Oh, my God. I got to give you my password. It's so great. It is so great. They just fight about stupid stuff.
Go ahead.
Well, here we go down this rabbit hole. All right. American support for Ukraine and its war with Russia seems to be largely split along party lines. New ABC News Washington Post survey released on Sunday finds 41% of the U.S. believes the U.S. is doing too much to support Ukraine, up from 33% now in February. And
Look, I understand having questions about how the money is spent, what's effective and all of that. But I, for one, am very glad that today's Republican Party was not in charge of France during the Revolutionary War. Because we wouldn't be a country if this attitude, because we are a country because of the French. And I appreciate that about them and the fact that we are willing to help defend the country that needs the help against a foreign invader like Russia. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Well, and the first asteroid sample collected in space by NASA has returned to Earth. NASA's OSIRIS-REx spacecraft released a capsule containing soil from the asteroid Bennu, which was then safely parachuted into the desert in Utah on Sunday. That robotic spacecraft was launched in 2016. I guess it landed on the asteroid in 2020. And now the sample has returned.
And we're all going to die within
the month. And it looks like a rock.
Month. Yeah, it's just nothing.
I was like, woo! Oh.
That's right.
It's a rock.
David, thanks.
Just a rock until it sparks the zombie outbreak.
That's right, until that. And which is what we say about the Middle East. No, it's just a rock. Nobody?
No, that
Nobody.
Was good.
Wasn't there... There was some movie, I want to say it was Steve Martin, where like the kid is looking at a girly magazine and he's like, or maybe it was Queen Latifah, you know, what's a wreck? And she's like, it's a country in the Middle East, you know, like.
Yeah, right.
5:50. The 5 o'clock hour is just different. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-16. Oh, this is kind of interesting. You know how you see something and then you wonder, did I? Okay.
Yeah.
I had two of those over the weekend.
The Panthers cheerleader.
Oh no.
So three of those over the weekend.
No question of what I saw and didn't see there.
Oh.
anyway, sorry. No, Hurlburt. Hurlburt has been undergoing construction in order to open it back up to the public. Which it hasn't been open to the public, I guess, for like 20 years. Like, as long as we've only lived here 9 years. So as long as I've lived here, you couldn't just go to, you couldn't just go in Hurlburt and look around. I've been there on, tours, and we did a really interesting interview a while back for the folks who won, oddly enough, the McKay Award. They had no relation. But learned a bunch about the Ospreys and about AFSOC and their mission there and everything. Anyway, but they are kind of preparing for reopening next spring, after, 20 years to the public. Now, it's going to be certain kinds of access, right? You can't just go everywhere. But they've got, the static displays are going to be there. And Lieutenant General Tony Bauernfeind, he's the commander of the Air Force Special Operations Command, AFSOC. He says, we're dedicated to preserving the legacy of our air commandos. We want to share our mission, past, present, and future with our community. We look forward to educating and inspiring our visitors about the rich heritage and traditions that we have here at Hurlburt Field and within AFSOC. So, you know, they've got like an AC-119G Shadow, a C-46D Commando, a B-25 Mitchell, an HH-3 Jolly Green, an AC-47 Spooky. Man, those planes are amazing. A T-28 Trojan and an O-1E Bird Dog. But here's what caught my attention. When we were driving over to Destin over the weekend, going up over the overpass in front of Hurlburt, you know, the relatively new overpass, I mean, a couple years ago. And I swear they had a new plane out front just at the entrance. It looked, I only saw it very quickly and I wasn't sure, but it looked like a C-130. And I was like, oh, that seems new to me. So maybe it's connected. Maybe it's my imagination. Maybe that's always been there. But if you drive that way and you know, I'd love a confirmation text. The other thing I saw over the weekend is we were biking around Destin and we're by the airport and I suddenly hear this, you know, jet engine roar. Well, when there's jet engines, I look up and see what it is. And I look up to see, I swear, I kid you not, if you care about military aviation, an F-117 Nighthawk, which is the stealth fighter. It's not really a fighter, but that's what they call it. That flat bottom, 45-degree angled rear vertical stabilizers, very distinctive signature when you look at it. I'm like, and I got my phone and it's gone. I'm like, no! They've been, like, decommissioned for forever, but I guess they're back in use to some degree or with training missions and things like that. So, no picture, but I did see it.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.